Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling someone pretty monumental from the Renaissance. Philippus Aureolus Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim.
Thankfully better known as Paracelsus.
Exactly. And sometimes called the Luther of medicine, which really tells you something about his impact.
Oh, definitely. A real revolutionary.
Yeah, but also, like, deeply contradictory, wouldn't you say? He's praised, you know, as the father of toxicology, founder of medicinal chemistry.
Absolutely foundational stuff.
But then you hear contemporaries calling him arrogant, a drunkard, basically a charlatan.
That's quite the split reputation.
So our mission here is to kind of unpack this figure, this physician, alchemist, mystic, who basically declared war on the medical establishment of his day.
He really did. He was pushing for something new based on, well, experience, mm-hmm. looking at nature directly.
Which was radical then.
Hugely. You have to remember, he was this outspoken anti-authoritarian guy, a free thinker. He genuinely believed the Book of Nature was the only text that mattered.
So he just dismissed the standard medical learning, all that Galen and Avicenna.
Pretty much scoffed at it.
Yeah.
I mean, those texts were treated almost like scripture back then. He saw academic medicine as totally out of touch.
Okay, so if he wasn't hitting the university libraries, where did he get his knowledge? What did he value?
Experience. Raw, direct experience. He learned from barber surgeons, executioners, midwives. Sources even say old robbers. People with practical skills.
Not your typical scholar.
Not at all. And he worked in mines. That was crucial. It gave him firsthand knowledge of metals, obviously, but also occupational diseases.
Oh, like the miner's disease.
Exactly.
Oh.
He realized it wasn't, you know, evil spirits or whatever causing it. It was inhaling metallic vapors, something external.
That shifts the whole paradigm, doesn't it? From imbalances inside the body.
To specific things outside the body causing trouble. It was a major leap. He started thinking about external causes for specific diseases.
Okay, let's connect that. How did rejecting humoralism, that old four fluids idea, how did that actually change medical thinking?
It was fundamental. He brought in two, well, really modern ideas. First, like we said, diseases have external causes, specific agents from outside.
Right.
And second, localization. These agents target a specific organ. So lung disease is in the lungs, caused by something lodged there,
right.
Not just a general imbalance.
So that's the birth of the disease entity idea, that specific illnesses exist.
Pretty much, yeah. A cornerstone for how we think about medicine even now. It moved things beyond just vague systemic imbalances.
And his practical application was iatrochemistry. Alchemy meets medicine.
Spot on. He saw the body as a chemical lab, basically. Famously said alchemy's true goal wasn't gold, but making powerful medicines.
So he's bringing in metals, minerals, mercury, lead, zinc. You mentioned those.
Yes. Inorganic salts, metals, substances that were definitely not standard remedies. He even developed laudanum, an opium tincture for pain.
Okay, but hang on. Mercury, lead, we know those are toxic. How did he defend using them? Was it just sheer arrogance, thinking he knew better?
Well, this is where maybe his most famous contribution comes in. It's the core idea of toxicology.
The dose makes the poison.
Exactly. Sola dosis facit venenum. Toxicity isn't inherited. It depends entirely on the amount. Something deadly in a large dose might be fine or even helpful in a small one.
That single idea kind of unlocked pharmacology for him, didn't it?
It really did. It allowed him to experiment. Now, he also had other ideas, like the doctrine of signatures.
Oh, yeah, the idea that plants look like the body part they treat, walnuts for brains, that sort of thing.
Right, which feels much more mystical. It's this strange blend, isn't it? Believing in gnomes and sylphs, but also making these incredibly sharp empirical observations about disease.
He really does feel like a bridge figure. One foot in the old magical cosmos, one stepping towards modern science.
He absolutely is. And that's why he remains, you know, enigmatic.
Yeah.
Paradoxical. Still controversial today, really.
But the concrete stuff is undeniable.
Undeniable. The dose principle, creating iatrochemistry, seeing diseases as specific things with external causes, like with the miners. Huge contributions.
But I think maybe his biggest legacy wasn't just what he discovered, but how he thought. That mindset shift.
Go on.
Well, when he publicly burned the works of Galen and Avicenna, I mean, imagine the symbolism. He was basically saying, truth isn't just found in old books.
He was replacing the authority of ancient texts.
With the authority of your own eyes, of experience, direct observation, the sheer audacity of it back then.
And that's the crucial point. Many of his specific theories, by our standards, were, well, wrong, off the mark.
Sure. Doctrine of signatures, gnomes.
Right. But the method he championed, observation, experimentation, challenging all authority, even the most revered. That was profoundly correct.
He kind of cleared the ground, intellectually speaking.
Exactly. He made it okay to look at the world for yourself and trust what you saw, even if it contradicted the textbooks.
So the takeaway for you listening, maybe it's this. Think about how modern science actually began. It wasn't necessarily neat, tidy, linear in some sterile lab.
Not at all.
It was often messy, brilliant, yeah, maybe even a bit magical, driven by people like this defiant alchemist who just dared to read the book of nature firsthand, something to mull over. Thanks for diving deep with us.